If you're listening to this, you've missed the whole message. But you get the last 5 minutes or so, and then go to Facebook and find the whole thing there. All right, so, and it's my fault. I confess it. All right, now, so it's one thing to be carnal and misguided or whatever, but we're going to ramp this up a notch on these false teachers and these bad examples, because 2 Corinthians, Paul's really clear, they're satanic, and that's a bigger deal. He says in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 11, "But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." They're went ones, not sent ones. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers... This isn't a very subtle comparison, is it? He's making the dots connect right here. "Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So there's false teachers out there. They're not even redeemed. They're ministers of Satan, who's an angel of light. And so... those are some serious stakes. There's the misguided, there's those that are carnal, and then there's those that are working for the devil, literally. I was just, last night, Randy and Julie and I were out and had an audiobook going. It's called The Shepherds for Sale. Go read that or listen to that book. It's an eye-opener. A lot of shepherds for sale, and ministers are angels of light. And not for God. Okay, so the reason for false teachers is simple. It's verse 19, and we've already covered it. They mind earthly things instead of having, instead of looking for Christ, and they give up their birthright, like Esau, you know, right? For the satisfaction of their belly. Esau wanted some porridge, right? He wanted some soup, so he gave up his birthright. And that's what a lot of believers do. I mean, we're not talking here about just baby Christians, right? That's understandable, because baby Christians, 1 Corinthians 8, are carnal, or 1 Corinthians 2:8. I can't remember the passage, but they're carnal. But he's talking about the ministers have gone that route. It's like in that old movie, The Matrix, the guy had to go back in the Matrix. He couldn't take it reality anymore. He went back in and deceived himself. So the three keys. The first one is the key to win the relay for life and hand off the message to the next generation is the biblical maturity. The second is biblical models. And the third is biblical motivation. So bad examples motivate us to continue our race and fight the good fight of faith. Philippians 3:18 through 19. So we must stand in Christ when we see false teachers on the rise. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." And so there is a motivation to finish your race, right? In verses 13 through 14, you'll remember, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Stay focused forward. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So make sure you're running forward, not backwards. And in verse 20 and 21, as we wrap up this chapter, he says, "For our conversation," right, our lifestyle, "is in heaven." Our future's in heaven. Our life is really in heaven. This is like it's not an illusion, right? It's not Styx concert, but it is a grand illusion in a way. I mean, we're really going forward into heaven. And so there's your reference for rock concert songs for 1980. Yeah, it's a grand illusion. So for our conversation is in heaven, verse 20, "from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So there's a forward looking to the Lord Jesus and what's ahead. And so you don't get too caught up in what's been behind, even the good or the bad, for that matter. Right? We got to forget things behind and move forward. Right? You can't. I've been rebuked for this, you know, in the past, and it kind of stung me. So I'm sensitive to it, because I had to collect my bearings and go, oh, you know, maybe I'm just self-centered or whatever. And then God got me back in line. No, you got to focus forward, or you'll never go anywhere. You'll get in a four-wheel loop and never leave. And I've seen it happen. You ever seen someone get hurt? Something goes wrong? I have. And then we planted this church. I went to visit a guy I used to go to church with, and I went to his house. Man, he was so fired up about something that happened like 6-8 years ago. It's like, dude, I'm like, oh, see, it would have literally been, well, it's probably only about Let's see, 2 plus 4. So 6 years earlier. So 6 years of his life had gone by. Like, the whole world's moved on, and he doesn't even know it. He's still stuck in the trauma, and it was real trauma in his life, real trauma from this, from 6 years earlier, and he was just stuck there. And so I got him calmed down and let him beat me up for a while. Boom, 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 boom. Then once he beat me up, I was like, okay, now that has nothing to do with me, but I love you, and love to have you at Heartland. Come see us sometime. So, and he hasn't, he showed up once, but anyway, there is motivation to finish your race. And in verse 21, he says, who shall change our vile body? We're going to be changed, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That ought to move us, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so our conversation, our lifestyle, it's in heaven. And, you know, Hebrews 12, wherefore seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So look forward, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So the last thing here, because I've already mentioned, is set your affection on proper things, right? Set your affection on the proper things, verses 20 and 21. Because the things of this world are sure to pass, and they will not last. And so Matthew 6 tells us that, to lay our treasures up in heaven, not on this earth. Colossians 3, I've already mentioned it, tells us to put, seek those things above, not the things of this earth. And we just got to stay focused. So we should look forward to, verse 21, the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so the promises of God's goodness to us and our belief in his pure character is what really motivate us to run the relay for life to the fullest, knowing that we will never be sinlessly perfect in our temporal bodies, right? These bodies aren't going to be perfect. But we can strive to live the impossible Christian life by the power of God's grace that worketh in us mightily, right? It's the grace of God that works in us. And so then we have those three keys. We have biblical maturity, we have biblical models, and we either are one or we're following one or both, and then we have biblical motivation, which you don't want to leave off the last part, because we really need biblical motivation to make it happen. So, I got done on time. So, I think I'm going to stop there. So I think we're all different maturity levels, but most of us are pretty mature in here. So I pray that you are a biblical model, and that you have good motivation. Next time we get back, we'll be in chapter 4. So we're making our way. Any questions, comments? We got 2 whole minutes. Yes, ma'am.
I was thinking how, when you were talking about being followers of those that are good and death, I was thinking, I've already started changing a bit in my Facebook, like, who am I following?
Oh, wow.
And who am I?
I better, you're going to convict me now.
Who am I following for Christ? In the heart, I'm going to follow those two. That's it. Everybody else goes.
Yeah, that's a good... That's really profound, actually. That's a good application, because we do. It's interesting. That's what's on our social is follow. You follow. That's a good point. And that is, and they call them influencers. Yeah, man. Thank you. I haven't ministered to me. I need to think about that. So, sorry, Brian Parrott. No, I'm just kidding. Kind of. Anyway, so I had to delete him the other day. So, I don't mind saying that out loud, because he's. Blast everything out loud all the time. So he was on Doug Carriger's post. We shared Derek, you know, Doug's out there building the church, and he had to jump on and start castigating that whole thing. So I was like, delete. But to your point, yeah, it's not healthy. Not good. Yeah, good point. Anything else? I need to hear this, so I don't know about y'all. God had me prep that for me. I need to, as you know, when you're teaching something, you're like, man, I hope I'm living what I'm preaching up here. So I need to hear that. It's easy to grow bitter and get stuck. You don't want to let that happen. And so let's go forward and see Jesus in the air. It's going to be so good when we get there, and we got to keep that in mind. So, all right, well, let's see who we got online real quick, and then we'll close up. Looks like we had Keith Bonnison. So, hey, Keith, and Norma Foster, and she says the sound is fine. So thanks, Norma. Your mom. Yeah, so that's good. Sorry I'm not Randy, though. I'm sorry. So, anyhow. Would anyone like to close us out in prayer? Oh, all right, I'll do it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to meet together, and thank you for the class that we have assembled. Thank you for some today who are not here because they're working in ministry or preaching in a church, which is working in ministry, serving you and being in samples to the flock. Lord, and I thank you for ensamples. Lord, thank you for not just this class, but several classes in this church that are Bible fellowships that are full of ensamples, good ensamples. And Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the fruit that you have produced supernaturally in your church. Lord, you are building your church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we don't have to get too bent around the axle. But at the same time, help us to be mindful of false teachers and bad doctrine that can creep in, and stay focused on things above. Help us to love you and love others, and get that great invitation going to everybody who needs to hear it and receive it. We thank you and praise you for the time we're going to have in praise in a moment in the worship service. Thank you for these that are here this morning. I pray your blessing on it this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks for coming. You poor folks. Gotta hear a double dose of me. That's
come on in and see what's happening. Hey, Frank, take it forward.